I greet you all this morning in the name of our risen Savior. I invite you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32. This morning I'd like to focus on God is righteous and entreatable. Recently, in my personal devotions, I read through Exodus 32, and I was struck again with the incident where Moses pleads with the Lord to save the children of Israel. God is righteous and entreatable. I'll be reading most of 1 through 24. In the New King James. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Meanwhile, on the mountain, and the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, 'He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people." And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, on the one side, on the other, they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And then jumping down to verse 20. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" So Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, 'Make us gods that shall go before us.' As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them break it off." So they gave it to me, and I cast it in the fire, and this calf came out. We could focus on Aaron's perspective. The first part definitely looks like there was intention of what came out of the fire. And then when he's reporting to Moses under a little bit of heat, so to speak, he makes it sound like, "Oh, well, I had nothing to do with this. They were demanding this, and then look what came out." God is righteous and entreatable. So in this passage, we see God's righteousness. Not necessarily spoken of specifically, but we know that God is a jealous God who cannot accept divided loyalties. So God is righteous. What does that mean? God always does what is right. He is right because he doesn't answer to anyone besides himself. God's ways are right. So everything about God is right, which is one definition of his righteousness. And so when these people said, make us gods, and they started bowing down and worshiping these gods, this was not acceptable to God because he saw that they were placing their loyalties somewhere else besides him. Because God is righteous and there is no flaw in him, he can require that humanity choose their master but accept the consequences of that choice. But while God is righteous, we see here that he is untreatable. Moses stood in the gap and reminded God of his own reputation. And God listened and withheld complete judgment on Israel. What about you and I? God is righteous. He expects our loyalty. We'd just like to take a minute or two in quietness for you to ask, Lord, what idols have I crafted in my own heart? And just listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay, I invite you to turn to Psalm 5. There is much about Moses entreating the Lord to withhold his wrath that I don't understand. But I am grateful that God is untreatable. And I believe it speaks to his heart and his desire for our relationship that he is untreatable. Psalm 5 speaks more to this entreaty. It's a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. So here we again see that God is untreatable. David is crying out to God in the morning, and he's saying, listen to me, give ear to my words. David understood that he has an ear with God, not because of who David was, but because of who God is. God has always invited dialogue with people about their situations. And I believe that God appreciates our honesty about what is important to us. If we're going through a hard time, I don't think we need to somehow couch it in some kind of nice words. God understands. And I believe he honors honesty. I believe God always honors the heart of someone who says, I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I trust you. And I believe there's a difference between questions and unbelief. Unbelief, the Bible speaks very clearly about that, that is sin. But questions, doubts, I believe God honors the heart that comes to him and says, God, I don't know what's going on here. And as we learned in a lesson or two ago, I believe the man who said, I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief, is a stance of where we often find ourselves. God, I believe, and yet there's so much I don't understand, and so help me in that process. Verse 4, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. So here we see that evil people, boastful, workers of iniquity, do not have a hearing with God unless they repent. The posture of a person coming to God makes a difference. Makes a big difference. And so if our heart is wanting to trust God, but we're not quite there yet, that's very different than having a heart that is set and intent on evil and wickedness. And then moving on to verse 7. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship towards your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. So here I believe it says that the humble person comes to God, recognizing that God is merciful. So his heart is against those who are doing evil, whose intent is for evil. But for the person who's wanting and wrestling and saying, God, I want to trust you, and we come in humility like that, God's ears are open and ready to hear us. So it says that God is righteous, but he invites us to worship him in fear and in reverence. God is righteous, but he is entreatable. And then verses 9 through 12, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O Lord. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. Then he turns the page, but let all those who rejoice, who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. So David tells us what wicked people do and entreats God to judge them with righteous judgment. But then the last two verses speak of the blessing there is for those who fear the Lord and choose to live righteously. I praise God this morning for the fact that God is both righteous and entreatable. We have a hearing with God because he longs to be known of us. So may we worship him this morning, the God who is righteous and entreatable. Would you bow for prayer? Our gracious Father, we not only bow our heads, but our hearts to you this morning, recognizing that you are righteous. You are above all. You are above humanity. And yet, you long to be known of us, and so you have made yourself entreatable so that we have a voice. We have a hearing with you, even in our wrestlings, even in our fears, our anxieties, our longings. I praise you, Father, for your righteousness. And I praise you that you always do what is right. But I thank you that you have made yourself to be known. And I thank you that in that desire, in that quest, you sent Jesus so that we can even know you better. And so, Lord, as we live in this time of Jesus having come and gone back to you, we just recognize that we are blessed and we are rich for knowing you. Bless this service, Lord. May we focus on you. May we follow you. And may our hearts align ourselves with you. In Jesus' name, amen.